All right. Today we'll be in Ephesians 5. That's Ephesians 5, verse 21 through 26. Submitting yourselves one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourself unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and give himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. You guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come today, thanking you for another day to be in the house of the Lord. God, I pray the message that you laid on my heart to preach today, that it reaches those that are here today and those that hear it later in this recording, Lord, that wherever they're at in their lives, they can cling to one truth, is the Word of God. Not what a man would say, but what a man says through the Word of God, that you have inspired him and encourage him to preach the truth and the whole counsel of the Word of God. Lord, I pray that the Word goes out, because when it goes out, it will not go void. It will lodge somewhere. God, I pray, Lord, over our nation and the turmoil, the chaos, the moving away from the truth of the gospel to another truth that is not the gospel, Lord, that's celebrating sin, God, that's glorifying evil. God, our hearts should be broken. Our hearts should be torn as we watch our nation pull away from the truths of the gospel. God, I pray today over everybody that's on our prayer list, those mentioned by names and those that are in our hearts that we might not said today, God, and the ones that are been on our prayer list, God, we lift them up to you, Lord. We know you know the beginning to the end, God. We know that you control every point in our life, God. We know that your healing hand can heal still, God. But if not, you give us strength to endure wherever we may have an encounter. Lord, you have not promised us an easy life, but you have promised us a life that we can walk with you through the storms in life. You promised us a life that we cling to you in our hope of our salvation, regardless when everything looks like it. We don't understand. We can cling as Job cling to you through those tough situations that he was going through. He said, even though you slay me, Lord, I will still have my hope in you. Even though you slay me, I will still believe in you. Even though I don't understand what's going on in my life, I will praise you in the storm. I will cling to you. You are my hope. You're all I have. Job also said, naked I come into this world, naked I will leave. Only thing that we will have when we leave, when we die, only thing we're taking with us, are you his or not? Are you a child of God? Are you a child of Satan? He knows our hearts. He knows what's going through our minds right now. He knows what's going through our hearts. He sees if there's any malicious thoughts going on in our minds right now. He sees anything that is negative going through our minds right now. He sees it all. He also sees all the positive and all the good. And he sees your heart. And he knows if your heart is truly for him or not. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, you know, these sermons, they're hard for me to write because, you know, I'm not a father, you know, and Heather and I, we try to have a child and we haven't been blessed with that, and that's okay. God has a purpose for everything, and that's what we kind of come to the grips with, is your will be done. And I don't know if you guys ever read that book, and I think it was a book in the 90s, and some of you older guys might have heard of that book of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. Probably heard of it. Popular in the 90s. I haven't read it. I was actually found a summary of it, and I was listening to it yesterday to kind of get a, you know, men and women, we are different. We are. I mean, some of the educated out there would say, yeah, there ain't much differences, and they're just trying to swing around this new sexuality, but there are differences in men and women. And I came across something and I was laughing about it, and I want to share it with you guys today. I'm about to give some secrets away, so I'll give some man secrets away. So this comes from the Man Thoris. Men do not always say what they mean. Ladies, allow me to translate this for your future benefit. When a man says it will take too long to explain, what he means is, I have no idea how it works. When a man says, take a break, honey, you're working too hard, he means, I cannot hear the game over the vacuum cleaner. Some of y'all might can relate, right? Already. When a man says, that's interesting, dear, he means, are you still talking? When a man says, it's a guy thing, he means there is no rational thought pattern connected with this, and you have no chance at all making it logic. When a man says, you know how bad my memory is, he means I can remember the theme song to Logan Heroes, the phone number of the first girl I ever kissed, and the vehicle identification number of every car I ever owned, but yes, I forgot your birthday. Yeah. When a man says, oh, no fuss, I just cut myself, it's no big deal, what he means is, I'm probably severing my limb, but I will bleed to death for I admit I am hurt. So get over here and help me now. When a man says, I cannot find it, he means, it did not fall into my outstretched hand, so I'm completely clueless. When a man says, I heard you, he means, I have not the foggiest clue what you just said, and I'm hoping desperately I can fake it well enough so that you will not spend the next 3 days yelling at me. When a man says, you know, I could never love anyone else, he means, I am used to the way you yell at me. I realize it could be worse. When a man says, you look terrific, he means, oh, please don't try on one more outfit. We're late and I am starving. When the man says, I am not lost, I know exactly where we are, he means, no one will ever see us alive again. When a man says, I do not remember saying that, it's because he means, anything I may have said 6 months ago is inadmissible in an argument. In fact, all past comments become null and void after 7 days.
Hey, you've actually used that one.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. My memory is worse than yours.
When a man says, that is not what I meant, he means that something said can be interpreted in two ways. The one way that makes you sad or angry, I meant the other one. And when your husband says, honey, what color is this? He means all men see only in 16 colors. like window default settings. Peach, for example, peach is a fruit, not a color. Pumpkin is also a fruit, not a color. I have no idea what tapioca is. I say that to put some humor out there. And men and women, we are different. And God has designed it that way. When we look at a relationship, you know, dating and courting in that relationship is a beautiful thing. It's the differences that makes it beautiful. It's the difference that a man has and a woman has that makes it beautiful. Today, society will tell you the opposite, but God tells us no. He designed us for that purpose. In Ephesians 5, that verse 21 says, submit yourself one another in the fear of God. The fear of God. Proverbs 9:10 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the holy, and the holy is understanding. You see, in a relationship, in a marriage, in a family, the fear of God is very important. Now, I'm not speaking of a fear that is what we will try to grasp, a crippling and a fear where we can't think straight. No, this fear is a reverence. This fear is a praise and a worship to a holy God. That is a centerpiece of a relationship. To those that are dating and seeking somebody, the key to a relationship is to have God in the center of the relationship. Because a relationship eventually leads to a marriage, and a marriage which leads to a family. It is compound. One leads to another. Without that solid foundation, without having that, when you're dating, that solid foundation, your marriage will be doomed. Your family will be doomed. So we need to understand the fear of the Lord, that reverence, that praise, knowing who God is, and knowing that should be the driving passion. The driving passion in that relationship. If you're with somebody and they're not driven by that love of God, that passion, that desire to be in the presence of the Lord, you need to have a conversation with them. You need to have a conversation with them. If they're not driven and there to go to the Word of God and to read the Bible with you as a couple, or to pray with you as a couple, to pray together as a couple, but they prefer to do other things, you need to have a conversation that needs to be established early in the relationship. It needs to be established, that fear. See, God is the glue that holds everything together. He is the glue. Colossians 1:16-17 says this, for by Him all things are created that are in heaven and earth, visible, invisible, whether they be the thrones, the dominions, the principalities, the powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him all things consist. And to put that in simple language, God is the glue that holds a relationship. God is the glue that holds a marriage. God is the glue that holds a family together. Families is important. It's important to pray together. It's important to study the Word of God together as a family in your home. It's important. I don't know how your family life is. And I don't know where you're at in your walk with God, but you know, God knows. He places these sermons on me because he knows what's going on. I'm just a messenger up here proclaiming what he has given me. You see, marriage is sacred. Marriage is sacred. In verse 22 of Galatians 5, wives, submit yourself unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in every way. The husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. From the beginning, God had a design for marriage. He had a design for relationship, marriage, and family. He had a design. Genesis 2:20 through 24 says this: Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowls of the air and every beast of the field, but for Adam there was none found to help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now my bone of my bones, the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cling unto his wife. They shall be one flesh. One flesh. And we come back to Ephesians here, and it tells us there is an order within that family unit. There's an order. When God is moving through Paul to pen this, he said, wives, submit to your husbands. But what he is saying, what many men, and he's not speaking in an abusive way, not abusive way. Some men will say, oh, submit to your husbands. Do whatever they say. No, they're misinterpreting what he is saying here. He said, wives, submit to your husbands. Not in an abusive way. And when you go down there, you'll see the husbands are supposed to love their wives. And not a love that is this world looks at, but a unconditional, a unbiased, a love that is seen at the cross. The best love that you can ever see is what Jesus did at that cross for us. He gave us everything. He took what we should have took. He gave what we should have gave. He gave His life to save our lives. That is our mindset within our family. We should love our wife as Christ said He loves the church. He died for the church. He died for everyone here today. When we love our wives that way, then, because of that love, because of that, is a surrender. Because your wife knows you love her. And therefore, she submits to you because, not because she has to, because she loves you. You see, to be a wife is such a beautiful thing. It's when God presented this at the very beginning of time, He set the design up of that beautiful covenant between a man and a woman. He said they will leave. And in Mark 10:6-9, just rolls over and reflects Genesis. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. He made them male and female. LGBT, try to explain that to me. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cling to his wife. Cling, not cling to my parents over here now. You are one. You're separate from them. It's important, but you are now clinging to your wife. You're clinging to your husband. You are one unit. They twice shall be one flesh. So they are to be more twined, one flesh. And what therefore God had joined together, let no man put asunder. See, in that marriage, you guarantee that Satan was sitting there watching all of this take place. He was watching. I believe he was watching God say this to Adam and Eve and proclaiming this union, this marriage, how important it was. And Satan said, I'm going to stop this. I am going to put, somehow I'm going to do something about it. And he found Eve in that day in that garden. I don't know what's going on there, but she was able to allow herself to be deceived, and she was allowed herself to take of that fruit, and Adam followed right behind her. See, he was supposed to stand in the way. He was to say, no, Eve, do not eat of that fruit. Oh, us men, how we are not standing in the gap today for our families. Why the devil is running rampant in our lives. How we are not standing up for the gospel, while work is more important than reading our Bibles, while work is more important than praying with our families, how we're glorifying our careers, how we are lifting it up to as an idol and not bowing down to the God and say our families are precious. We should stand in that gap in our families. We should be the spiritual head. The head of the household. Just think about this in Ephesians when he says he talks about the head. Just think about it. The head. Without the head, the body cannot function. Your head, you have eyes, right? Your head, you have ears. Your head, you have mouth. Your whole thing. Without the head, the body cannot function. And in this passage in Ephesians, it said, you have to be the head. You have to be the spiritual leader of your house. If not, your body will fall apart. It will. It's sad. How many of our men today just let Satan take over our families. We're not praying. We're not encouraging the Word of God to be read in our homes, doing Bible studies. We're just letting the devil take control. From the 60s to the 70s, you had the sexual revolution. It was all attack. We don't need a man. We can do exactly what a man does. No, there is a difference between a man and a woman. There are differences. And God designed those differences to be beautiful. And when we look at today, the mindset, there was a study, a research group, Gallup, found that 70% support for same-sex marriage. Now listen, 70% of Americans today support same-sex marriage. Some people are like, oh, I don't believe that. I don't think a lot of people are aware of what's going on in our nation. And this study says same-sex marks a new milestone in a trend that points upward for a quarter of a century. God is not okay with same-sex marriage. But the way America is approaching it, they are now more acceptable for same-sex marriage. That is an attack on marriage. It was an attack from the very beginning. It's an attack that's now, that will keep on growing progressively. It is rapid. If you cut the TV on today, you will see all the LGBT stuff. You will see the rainbow flags. I know you guys, if you're on social media, you will see it. If you're cutting on the TV, you will see it. If you're looking at our government, they're glorifying it. You look at our schools, they're celebrating it. They are brainwashing our kids to accept it. Don't think this is not attack. That's been on attack from the very beginning. Do not think that you will not see more of a movement for polygamy. Polygamy, multiple wives. There are movements wanting that. For bestiality, pedophilia. There are movements in America that is supporting these. He said, well, there ain't no way that could happen. It's happening in Canada right now. So yeah, there is a way. And we are on the edge of accepting that in America. Would you ever thought 20, 40 years ago that America would support same-sex marriage? Would you? I wouldn't. Would you think America would be supporting transgender? When they say, okay, if you're a boy and you feel like a girl, that's okay. If you're a girl and you feel like a boy, that's okay. What do you have thought of that? And they're teaching that in our schools. We have ever thought that. Do not think it's not too far from America approving other sexual immoralities and stamping their good. And men like me up here proclaiming the truth, they're coming for us. There will be those who will sit there, and they're doing that in Canada today. There was pastors are getting arrested for just up here preaching in the pulpit about homosexuality. Not going out there and telling people what you're supposed to, but just in their church. Somebody goes and tells somebody, you know, that preacher up there, he's speaking against homosexuality. And they come in, they arrest him. Don't think that can't happen right here one day in America. I know you guys may be scratching your head and saying, no, there is no way. I'm going to tell you, there is a way. Jesus has not changed his mind on the importance of marriage. Cultural does not dictate the word of God, the word of truth. When God says in Genesis that a man and a woman is supposed to leave, they are supposed to leave their father and mother and cling to be one. One flesh. That is male and female. They are supposed to be one with God. They are supposed to center their relationship, their marriage, their family on the word of God. On the word of God. Are we? Are we? The key to a marriage and to a family and to your dating, a relationship, is the glue that is God that holds it together. In closing, take home message today. God is the key to your relationship, to your marriage, and to your family. God is the glue that holds it all together. A man, a husband, a father is important. Don't let this world tell you otherwise. Our differences is beautiful. God designed the man, the husband, the father, to have an important role within that relationship, within that marriage, in that family, as he has an important role for that female, that wife, that mother. They're all intertwined together and they're both important. They make a family work. And when you take that, you put God in the center of it. You recognize the differences, what makes it beautiful, and that a relationship, a marriage, and a family with God at the center, it will thrive. It will thrive. It is sacred. It is a, if you would say, is a ministry. Marriage can be a ministry when you put God at the center of it. Other people will look at you and say, what is up with your marriage? It's different. It's different. There's a love there. As in Ephesians, love your wives. A love that is centered as Christ has loved the church, or is loving the church and loving each and every one, even loving those out there that are spitting in his face. And we see at the crucifixion when they're crucifying him, and he's in so much pain and he's up there on the cross. He looks down in love. Do you have that love for your family? Do you have your love for your wife as Christ is looking down? He said, forgive them. They know not what they do. I love them regardless. They're killing me, but I have to die. Do we have that love for our wife, for our children? If we do, that passion, that desire drives us to live a life within our relationship, within our marriage, with our family, to do the studying of the Word of God, through the praying of the Word of God, to seeking God through Bible studies. Do we do Bible studies in our home? Heather's always hitting me up. We're doing like two. We were doing three. Are you doing those in your home? Oh, I'm too busy. No, you should not be too busy. We as men are supposed to be standing in the gap for our family. Adam should have been standing in the gap for his wife. He was over there doing whatever knows. He was right there, but his mind was distracted. And he allowed Satan to come into there and attack his wife. Oh, how we are doing that today. How we're letting our devil run through our family, attack our kids. Oh, how our children are turning away from the faith. They'll be in the church for all their lives and they can't answer simple questions about Christianity. And they go out in that world and they start going to college and they start getting a job and they turn from God, because while we have not established that foundation of the Word of God within our homes, and we're scratching our heads. Wake up, men. Wake up. We're losing our children to this world. Youth are turning in mass numbers from the Word of God that have been in churches since they were little, and they grow up and they're like, we're scratching our heads. You can look at entertainers today that were in church and now they're saying, oh, you know what? I don't believe all of that. What happened? What happened? Church failed them. The man up here behind the pulpit, the deacons at the church, fail that person. Their family has failed that person because they have not expounded the gospel. See, when we leave this building, we don't leave this message right here at the altar. We take it in our hearts and we live it throughout the week. And we just don't live that. We also live through the studying of the Word of God individually as a group within our homes. I hope you do Bible studies in your home. I don't know what it looks like in your home. I hope you pray with your family together in your home and do Bible studies. If you're not doing that, you have allowed the enemy to infiltrate your family. And the good news is, you do whatever you want to do with this message today. I am just a messenger. I just shoot it out there. This is what God gave me. Bam, there it is. You choose to accept it or not. See, when I come to that judgment looking at Jesus, He's going to say, you did what I needed you to do. Of course, I've done things I'm going to have to answer for. As we all will. It won't affect us going to heaven. We just will have that accountability conversation with Jesus. But He will say, did you do what I needed you to do when you were here? And He will say the same thing when you heard that man of God up there proclaiming the message that I had given him. What did you do with it? As we have a verse or two of imitation, I encourage you guys to examine, always examine your heart. You know what your life looks like.
Turn to page 124.
Father, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for our Sunday school class this morning, the lesson that we had. Thank you for this message that you sent to us. Helping us to realize where we do stand as a father. Lord, we just pray that you might strengthen our lives and ones that have not found their spot in the marriage. Lord, we just pray that you might touch them and help them to realize the responsibility they have and the guidance that you offer to them. Lord, we just pray now that you might forgive us when we fail you so many times, Lord, and always help us to rely on you for everything that we have to take to do. Never, never doing anything without first consulting you and asking for your leadership. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Appreciate you, man. A bunch.